Blog Talk Radio.
As a parent, your child's safety is your top priority. Protect Your Children understands. That's why they provide a wide range of free online resources, including in-depth protection guidelines, zip code predator searches, video tutorials, and more to help you protect your children from predators online and off. Don't leave anything to chance. The resources you need to keep your children safe are easily available and they're free. Visit protectyourchildren.org to find the tools you need to protect your kids. That's protectyourchildren.org.
All right, welcome to the Protect Your Children podcast with your host, Christopher Gelson. We are glad that you are tuning in tonight. And this week we have a great guest on tap for you tonight. It's Shayna Barrera. She's the creator of The Forgotten Podcast. And that is a podcast that focuses on unsolved cases. She has covered missing children, missing adults, and other unsolved cold, as we would call cold cases. Though some of the authorities would say that the cases aren't cold, they're still open. But a lot of times, cases like that kind of get kind of swept under the rug a little bit and get put on the back burner to other newer cases. So her podcast focuses on bringing awareness and attention to these old cases in hopes that maybe there's a tip and maybe some more information that could actually lead to solving a case and maybe even locating somebody who went missing or solving a murder or something of that nature. So we're excited to have Shayna on tonight. She will be with us in just a little bit. So I want to take a moment to tell you that we have lots of great resources available for you. First, I want to also say that we have been growing exponentially. We're thankful for that. We have over 3,000 followers on the Facebook Protect Your Children page. YouTube has even got a few extra subscribers, so even YouTube is starting to get there. Twitter is doing well. TikTok, we haven't been posting a lot on TikTok, and we'll have to get back to doing that. Instagram, I think, is up to 45 followers, so we're getting the word out on all platforms. And we just want to thank you, the passionate protector out there, for sharing and tweeting and liking and commenting and doing all those great things that you do to help spread the word on how to keep kids safe from predators and molesters. Now, some people would say, isn't a molester the same as a predator? Well, really they are, but a lot of people aren't too familiar with the term predator in the way that it should be used. They're more used to the word molester, so that's why in a lot of our posts you will see predator/molester, so people will connect the two things, because really, a molester is a predator. That's it, bottom line. And they prey upon kids, and they seek out kids. They set a strategy. They set how they're going to go forth. It's their method, if you will. And as we posted earlier, the method is really the warning signs and the lookouts. So if you learn the warning signs and the lookouts of a predator, then you will be more able to keep your kids safe. And that's what our mission is. Absolutely. So the post we did earlier today, remember, predator molesters usually don't break a sexual boundary right away. They have a method made up of warnings and signs. So with that, the Protect Your Children guidelines are available on our website, protectyourchildren.org. And those guidelines are a PDF. They are free, of course. We would never charge somebody to protect their kids. And if you see anything out there like that, then you ought to give them the peace of their mind, because that's ridiculous. So sexual boundary is not usually broken right away. You have to know that. And in the rare cases that it is, that's somebody who's really desperate, really stupid, and really not even good at what they're doing, you know. So and we like people like that because they get caught quicker, right? So got to keep that in mind. So The other thing is we do live broadcasts once a week. We encourage you to check back on our news feed on Facebook, and you will find those live feeds on our profile and on our timeline. A lot of good information there as well, so please make sure you check that out. Now, I want to mention about Zachary Bernhardt. We will talk about him briefly tonight with Shayna Barrera. She's the author and the host of the Forgotten Podcast. She'll be joining us in a little bit. But Zachary Bernhardt, we've been doing a lot of work on raising awareness and education, educating the public about his case. We're getting a lot of good information coming in from multiple different sources. We can't really comment too much more on that. But we have a lot of people commenting on what they think happened, asking us what we think happened. And even if we have a view, we are not able to share that with you. But I will say that we as an organization have a very strong feeling that Zachary is still alive and that he's out there somewhere. And somebody commented that he would have called the authorities by now. That is absolutely not true. There are many reasons why a kidnapped child will not call the authorities. Okay, so one, they still may be afraid to. Two, they may be brainwashed. Three, they may have been lied to, told that their parent gave them up for adoption or their parent died, you know, something to that effect, especially when a child's really young, right? So, you know, there could be drug use involved. There could be a whole host of reasons why a child will not go to the authorities. They may not be able to get to the authorities, right? Think of Cleveland and the three ladies that were held captive up there. You know, it was by a straight up miracle that the one girl was able to get to the door and start screaming. And somebody, a passerby, cared enough to help rescue them. But that was after how long? 10, 12, 14 years? So kids do get found after long periods of time. They do. So you will be able to call in tonight if you have any questions for Shayna when she comes on, or if you have any comments or questions for myself. And you can call in at 563-999-3645. 563-999-3645 is the call-in number. And you can call in at any point during the show, and we will try to get you on air. Wow, where do we go from here? Well, the story of Zachary is only one of so many missing kids. And the reality is we don't want to say that they're forgotten about, okay? But the reality is that they kind of are. That's the problem. They kind of get forgot about. And we want to make sure that that never happens. And some people say, well, why, you know, like, why continue to talk about it? And hold on, I'm responding to a message here. There we go. Okay. So people say, why continue to talk about a case that's 20 years old? 20 years old. Well, he's probably dead by now. Well, there's no chance of being found. Well, you know. Well, if you remember, we did a podcast, a show a while back, where we featured three cases. And I believe the combined total of missing years was like 45 years, right? And this one boy was found after 16 years. After 16 years. Had no idea. Because he was so young. He was taken when he was 5 or 6. He had no idea. And he didn't find out until he went to apply for college. And he went to use his social security number. And they came back to him and they said, this social security number doesn't match your name. And he said, well, what do you mean it doesn't match my name? And they started asking the right questions. They get the authorities involved, found out the kid who found out, I believe he was 19 or 20, found out that he was missing for like 14 or 15 or 16 years. Now you say, how can someone like that go that long out there in plain sight, if you will? This kid went to school. He had a job. He was going to college. Imagine that. So as long as there are stories like that out there, we will always have hope. There'll be hope for Zachary Bernhardt, and there'll be hope for many other missing kids. Now, some people have said to us in comments about not focusing on other children. We do talk about other children, but yes, not as much as Zachary Bernhardt. And the reason for that is because it is local. It is Clearwater, which is right next to our home base, which is Tampa. It's right in the Tampa Bay area. So a lot of us in the organization remember this case. We remember when he went missing. We remember the search parties. We remember seeing the dogs out there. We remember seeing the police. We remember the media coverage. We remember seeing the flyers everywhere. And when something like that happens so close to home, it leaves a mark. It leaves an indelible mark. And we also have on good authority from some people that will testify to Zachary's mother at the time when he was missing and the reaction and how she did not seem concerned at the time. There's others that will testify to the fact that there's no way her story lined up. So, I mean, there's also a lot of very strange, bizarre questions about Zachary Bernhardt's case. And that also helps to drive people. You know, like a good detective in a way doesn't ever want to give up on a case, especially if they have a feeling that something is just not right. So we are focusing a lot on him right now. And because there's a lot of great information coming in, some from people that knew him, some from people that know Leah, and some from other sources, we want to make sure we continue that so we can continue to put a file together and get it over to the Clearwater Police Department and they can do their work. So we will continue to focus on him. And as other kids come up, we will also highlight their stories. So we just want to, again, thank you for listening and paying attention and sharing. The latest post about Zachary, I think, has been shared like 700 times or something, which is really just amazing. And we're very thankful for that. So, all right, so we're going to be joined in just a couple of minutes by Shayna Barrera. She is the author and the creator of The Forgotten Podcast. And The Forgotten Podcast focuses on unsolved cases, missing children, missing adults, and other unsolved cases. And she does some great work. And you can find The Forgotten on Facebook. You can find The Forgotten on YouTube. And also on Anchor FM. Anchor.fm, The Forgotten Podcast. And that is where she puts up her podcasts, and she'll be talking more about that shortly. All right. So in this last couple of minutes before we are joined, we will remind you that our website, Protection Guidelines, all of our protection broadcasts, and our protection podcasts. We have important teaching and protection and awareness videos on our website. We have a whole section dedicated to how to keep your kids safe online. You can find out all the missing children by state, so you can get a look at their faces and read a little bit about their cases. We have eye-opening statistics. We have a whole section dedicated to setting up parental controls. Very important, parental controls on iPhones, Androids, Xboxes, PlayStations, so on and so forth. We have listings that cover the ages of consent for each state. Yes, they vary. So you may be unaware of the age of consent in your state, but that's very important to know because a crime may have been committed and you haven't realized it. We have state reporting numbers for abuse, statutes of limitations, zip code predator searches. You can become a teacher of the protection that we offer. We will teach you how to do that for free. and help you get set up to teach in a small group or a large group. You can see how to help us out. That's important too. How can you help protect kids from predators, kidnappers, and molesters? You can click on Help the Cause, and you can see all the ways that you can help out. You can help out by not only sharing the word about the website and our Facebook, social media. You can share by putting a magnetic decal on your car. We will send you that for free. It just has our website on it. We will send you pamphlets, brochures that you can hand out or leave out at your job or your church or other places like that. You can volunteer to help out in the event at an event that we have. There's so many ways that you can help us continue to further the cause. And of course, your financial donations are also important. And people would say, oh no, here we go. You know, people always asking for money. Well, the reality is that the work that we do, the advertising, the podcast, the websites, all the stuff that we offer does cost money. And again, nobody at this organization takes a salary. Everything is volunteer. And outside of a couple small donations, everything is paid for by the volunteers. Now, that gets very hard after a while. So we are asking people, if you can help out in any which way, it's tax deductible, please visit our website, protectyourchildren.org, and click on the Donate tab today and help us out. So we want to thank you for that. All right, I think we're going to be joined here by Shayna in just a second.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Very well, very well. Thanks for being part of the podcast. We greatly appreciate it.
Of course. I'm so excited to be here.
That's awesome. So where, what state are you located in?
I'm located in Texas.
In Texas. Okay. So yeah, you got to, is it really, really hot there? Because it was like 92 here today in Tampa.
Oh, goodness. It's hot all the time over here. But yeah, specifically today, it's not so bad. I think it's kind of humid outside, but it's actually pouring down rain at the moment.
Oh, yeah. We've had tons and tons of rain the last couple of days. And I think we've had our due. I think we're good now. So I'm trying to remember how we found your podcast. I don't know. I think it was on Facebook, right?
I think so. No, actually, I think it was on Twitter. I can't remember, but that's how
yes.
I contacted.
Yes, that's right. Excuse me. That's right. It was on Twitter. Yep. And we saw that you were doing podcasts about unsolved cases, missing people, and other stories like that. And we thought about you and your podcast, because we had listened to a few of them, and very, very well, very detailed, very thorough, very, very balanced as well. You know, that's one thing that
thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's one thing that we really like is the fact that you give a balanced approach. You know, you don't try to throw blame all in one direction, but you put out the information, the facts that are out there, and you have some provoking thoughts there, and you kind of get people to start thinking about, what's missing here, right? And it causes, causes people to really start talking about these cases again, which is really just a fantastic, fantastic mission to have.
Well, I'm so glad to hear you say that, because that's really what I was going for, was just, I don't want to look at things with a biased approach. I would really just like to, like you said, present the facts and then, you know, throw in my little tidbits here and there. But for the most part, I would like people to critically think and come to conclusions on their own. So I'm really glad that came across.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So for the people that are listening now that don't know, what is the Forgotten Podcast?
So the Forgotten Podcast is a true crime podcast that I created that specifically focuses on disappearances, unsolved murders, and suspicious deaths.
And some of these cases are, you just covered Zachary Bernhardt, which is a 20-year-old case. So what do you go back? I mean, do you try to stay more recent, or will you kind of go, how do you choose which case to do?
Yeah, honestly for that, I don't have like a specific go-to system for finding cases. I've gotten on Google and just tried to search for missing people. And really the majority of the cases that I've covered have either been recommended to me, like through Twitter or Facebook, people have asked me, like recommended me to look into them, or they're just cases that I had already heard of that I was interested in previously.
That's cool. That's really good. And how long has the podcast been going on?
So, okay, the first episode aired on February 6th, so it's almost been 5 months.
Wow. And have you been finding that, are you getting good feedback or people, you know, are you getting good interaction with people?
You know, I get some. Of course, like with the on Twitter and Facebook, people will message me and ask me to cover certain cases. But from there, it doesn't really go too far. It's still very new, still really small. But from the little interaction that I've had, it's been pretty positive, and I felt very supported by everyone so far.
Yeah, and we're hoping to help that out. You know, part of our mission is to partner with, you know, we say nonprofit. You know, in other words, we're not going to partner with somebody who's trying to make money off of, you know, a child being missing or
absolutely.
excuse me. You know, I laugh because we have actually been approached by people that have said they wanted to partner with us, and then we go to their website and I'm like, you're selling everything in the world here, you know, and we're just not going to partner with somebody who's trying to profit off of crime. I mean, I think that's, you know, and there's something to be said about, you know, making a living, obviously, because we need to support the work that we do, you know, like we ask for donations here, you know, but everything that we do here is free, you know, as far as what we offer to the public, you know, and, you know, and everybody here at the organization, nobody takes salary. And that's kind of the way we like it. You know, we all have been blessed with support of one way or another so that we can do this like full time. And, so we like to partner with people that are out there really trying to make a difference. And so we're hoping that we can help you get your podcast out there and get more listeners and, you know, that it'll make a difference in some of these cases.
Oh, absolutely. I really appreciate that. And I really hope that it does. That's the overall goal, is I just want it to make a difference. I want people to hear the cases and then talk about it to other people just to keep the awareness focused on these people.
Yeah, and it's very important because, as I was saying to the lead-up, if anybody's just joining in right now, we're talking with Shayna. Is it Barrera, right?
Yes.
Am I saying that right? Barrera. Okay, Shayna Barrera.
Yeah,
she's the creator. Okay, the creator of the Forgotten Podcast. And she has given us a little bit of her time here. And so if you're joining us now, that's what you're listening to. And so you know, one of the most important things, and sometimes it really takes a lot of patience, what we found out. We've been focusing on primarily Zachary Bernhardt since probably February. February, we put out a video and really started putting money toward advertising and getting the word back out there. And the first couple of months, you know, 2-3 months, we didn't really, you know, we had a lot of people with the usual comments, oh, I think the mother killed him or whatever, you know, the usual, everyone's got a theory, you know. But in the last couple of months, we've started getting a lot of more solid information and stuff that we are assembling together to get ready to give to the Clearwater Police Department. So, you know, sometimes it just takes a lot of time, you know, but once somebody sees something more than once, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 times, they really start to react, you know. So patience is definitely helpful when doing something of this nature.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But that's really interesting that you guys have information or have built up enough awareness to people to result in people actually going to the police department with new information. That makes me so happy because the case is so old.
Yeah, that's absolutely what we're hoping to do, you know, because, like I said, you know, the family and the friends don't forget, but the general public does. We just have to be honest about it. And the general public will say, well, I've never heard of that person. I've never heard of that case. And that's the problem because, you know, even if somebody believes that somebody's already dead, and we've had people say that constantly, oh, Zach, he's probably dead, you know. The reality is if we don't know that for a fact, then that means somebody still knows something, right? And God forbid it turns out that he is. At least that is closure for the family and the friends, right? Because right now, as far as they know, he could be dead. He could be alive. He could be well. He could be on drugs. No, they don't know. And they're living with that every single day of their lives, and they don't have the answers. And I honestly, if it was my child or a friend of mine, I don't know how I would deal with that. I think it would drive me crazy every single day. So it's got to be horrible for the families of these cases to not know what happened, right?
Oh, yeah. I cannot even imagine the pain that they go through.
So that leads me to ask you, what led you to start doing the podcast? Like, when did you just wake up one morning and you're like, you know what, I'm going to start focusing on these cases. Like, what led you to start doing the podcast?
Well, I think that I've always wanted to create this type of content, and it was more of just like a dream. Like, I never really knew how to do it or like what kind of equipment, what kind of platform to use, anything like that. And so that was whenever I was like a teenager. Well, fast forward a lot of years later, and I'm grown up, I'm working my full-time job, and then things just got really stressful at work. And I was like, you know, I need some type of creative outlet. And so the idea popped back up again, and I was like thinking, hey, I'm really passionate about this subject. I feel like I have enough knowledge, or I can research, I have the ability to research these cases and really get in depth. So why not just do it now? This is like the best time to do it, to really focus that creative stress into something positive.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, the rest is history.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And again, for anybody joining us late, we're talking with Shayna Barrera. She's the creator and the author of The Forgotten Podcast. And you can find The Forgotten Podcast on Facebook and Twitter, right, and on YouTube as well, correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, I think you've seen it too, because we've kind of talked about this a little bit. YouTube, it's very hard to gain traction on YouTube. Like, I think our channel has, like 40 subscribers, you know, and we've been at this for a year and a half, 2 years. So, you know, YouTube is a very hard place to kind of get in the door and start building an audience, you know, so don't let it discourage you, because it is very hard. You know, we've actually had to pay, you know, to advertise our YouTube videos, you know, and then it starts getting somewhere, we start getting subscribers, but it just seems like it's set up now where the little guy, if you don't pay money, you know, you're lucky if you get 5, 10, 15, 20, maybe 30 views on a video, you know, so it's very hard, but nonetheless, we have it out there because some people do, you know, come across an informational video or something that could make a difference. So we just keep going, right?
Absolutely. And I think that's such a good idea, just to have whatever it may be, whether it be a podcast or other forms of content, just having it on Twitter, Facebook. I don't have an Instagram personally, but just all the different forms, just because you never know what your audience is using. And so it just gives that extra area of where, you know, those people can go and look that maybe aren't on Twitter, but they're on Facebook, you know?
Yeah. And the more places that, you know, in the business world, they call it branding, right? You know, you have to be branded,
right?
You know, like, so it basically means the more times and the more places that somebody sees, you know, The Forgotten Podcast, okay, or Protect Your Children, Inc., or, you know, some of these other ones. Like, you talk to people today and you say, have you heard of the Red Cross? Oh, yeah, of course. Who hasn't heard of the Red Cross? You know, now it's taken them probably like 80 or 100 years to get to that point. You know what I'm saying? But, no, absolutely. Platforms you have, the more places, the better off it is. And you know, the reality is that, you know, if it's one person that listens to a podcast or sees a video and they say, wait a minute, you know, this is kind of strange, I think that I might know something about this, right? That's all it takes. And for us, it's like we spend a lot of money and a lot of time on not only protecting kids from molesters and predators with all the information that we put out, but a lot of time on focusing on Zachary Bernhardt, you know, and our point is like, hey, if this ends up culminating in him being found one way or another, then what was the money, right? What was the time? I mean, that doesn't mean anything, right? Because if the right person sees an ad or sees the video and boom, they have something and that breaks open the case and solves it, then isn't it all worth it?
Oh, yeah, that would be amazing. Just to put that kind of resolution, I guess, in the families, oh, it would be amazing.
Yeah, me and our co-director, we talked about this quite extensively, and we're, you know, we fantasize about the day he'll be found, you know what I mean? And we hope he's found alive. We have reason to believe that he is. And we're just trying to imagine what that would be like. His grandmother's like, I think, 85 or something, you know, and his cousins have come out and said, you know, we just really want him to be found before his grandmother passes away, you know, and just thinking about that kind of an emotional reunion and having just a small part to play with that, to play in that, is just, you know, it's very emotional sometimes.
Oh, yeah, it's priceless for sure. I would love to see something like that happen, especially with a case like Zachary. You know, he was so young when he disappeared. And so just his family to see, you know, if he is alive and well today, for them to see him as a 29-year-old man, that would be amazing.
Wow. So do you find yourself getting emotionally involved with any of the cases that you cover? Like, you feel maybe a personal, like, wow, this is kind of, are some cases harder than others?
Oh, goodness, yes. I feel like every single case I've covered thus far has had some type of emotional impact, but I feel like there's two specifically that have stuck out. And one of them is about a girl named Elisa Lamb. She was a suspicious death, and I think that was a pretty popular suspicious death case. And I think the reason being is because she had a public, I would say a journal. She used Tumblr a lot, and she basically used that as her diary. Well, Elisa had bipolar disorder, and she would document her thoughts and her feelings, and so that related to a lot of people. You know, 1 in 4 people in the U.S. have depression, and so just reading her entries, I could really feel something relatable in that within myself. I'm like, I've felt like that before. I know exactly what that feels like. And so that case really, on that level, had affected me. And plus, it was 3 years worth of journal entry. So, I mean, just reading it constant kind of takes a toll. But it was definitely worth covering, though, because I think it was just good to get a good overview of her case and for people to really see, like, from an unbiased perspective, just this is what it was, this is what happened, and this is ultimately the resolution that came from it. So that was pretty hard. And then another one that I'm doing is actually the one that I'm working on right now, which is the case of a woman named Susan Powell. And this case is just horrendous. Have you ever heard anything of it by any chance?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, the husband. Yeah. Oh, goodness.
It's definitely something. And I think the reason that it's such an emotional impact, it's just the horror of the whole case, but just the utter horror and the tragedy that happened with the children. It's affected me a little bit so far. And it's really hard, but it's definitely something that needs to be told because Susan is still out there somewhere. Probably, you know, deceased, but based on the things that have taken place in the investigation, but it's still important to find her or at least look for her.
Absolutely. And something that stuck with me with that case too was that there were a lot of warning signs, right? There were almost like red flashing warning signs. And a lot of that was missed, right? And so there's a learning opportunity by relooking at that case too, because there were so many things where people would have said, wait a minute, this doesn't seem right here. Wait a minute, the connection with like the grandfather, right? Something's not right here. You know, there were so many things there that should have been flags, right? And so that's another benefit of covering cases like that, because people can look back and go, wait a minute, maybe I need to keep an eye on things like that in the future. Just, you know, so nothing like this happens in my small world, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it does get difficult sometimes because, you know, a lot of times we go back with older cases and there's a lot of kids that are missing, a lot. And it is increasing more and more. I mean, the amount of Amber Alerts that are going out every day now, we get every single one of them. And something's going on, you know what I mean, where a lot of these teenagers, especially young teenagers, are ended up missing, and something's happening, you know, and there's no doubt that social media has something to do with it, that, you know, these teenagers are talking to strangers that are pretending to be kids. I mean, there's a whole bunch of other factors that are playing into it, but a lot of kids are going missing, and it's definitely a cause for concern, you know, and if people can look at previous cases and learn something from them in order to protect kids in the future, right, then there's a great outcome from covering cases like that.
Right. Absolutely. I'm totally for prevention all the way. So if there's anything that we can see in the cases to highlight and say, okay, not saying anyone did anything wrong or anything like that, but just saying, like, if there's something that we could do in the future to keep these things from happening, I think that's a great goal to shoot for.
Yeah, there's no doubt. So what are your ultimate goals? So if you can look a couple of years down the road, 5 years down the road, what are your goals for the Forgotten Podcast?
Oh, man, I think that my goal is pretty simple. I really think that I just want to bring awareness to the missing. I want families to know that there are people who care about their loved ones and they haven't been forgotten. And that's really the whole point of it. I don't care about money. I don't care about, I have a day job. This is my hobby.
Right,
I don't care
right.
about those types of things, but I really would just like to spread as much awareness as possible and really just shout from the rooftops like, hey, these people are still missing, or hey, this case is unsolved and there's a murderer walking around somewhere.
Wow. That's sobering.
Well, it's definitely something.
Wow. Yeah, that's enough to get people's attention. It certainly would get mine. Yeah.
Absolutely.
For anybody joining us late, we're talking with Shayna Barrera. She's the author and the creator of the Forgotten Podcast, and they focus on unsolved cases, missing kids and adults and other cases. And you can find the Forgotten Podcast on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. So we encourage you to give it a listen. And tell others, because you may be the key to helping solve one of these cases.
Absolutely. So, it just takes one tip.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what it takes. You know, it's you know, the right person coming forward. We just got some information a couple of days ago. I can't really get into it a lot, but we got a message from somebody who basically said, hey, does this child... And this now adult sent us pictures of both, look like Zachary Bernhardt. And,
wow.
Yeah. And so we are currently going through the necessary steps to prepare to get that to the Clearwater Police Department. But it's very striking, very, very striking similarities. You know, this now man was raised in Clearwater. He was adopted. There's a lot of things there, you know, and it gives us a little hope, but again, could be a really, really strange coincidence, you know, but it's one of those things where, you know, leads and leads and leads and leads and tips can come out and you just don't know, you know, you don't know if it's going to go somewhere or if it's going to just fall flat, you know, but, and that's part of the roller coaster, right? The roller coaster that goes up
right. And
down. Right. And something else we want to encourage you with, too, is, you know, especially in our line of work, we hear from a lot of people, you know, on Facebook and stuff. So we know that there's people that are being what we call passionate protectors. But for the thousands of views that we get on videos and stuff, the majority of the people we don't hear from, you know, and that doesn't mean that the content isn't making a difference. Right. Because the reality is we just don't know. Right. And we say the same thing with your podcast. You know what I mean? Like, not everybody's going to comment or, you know, or let you know that they listened, you know, but people are. They are listening, right? And that's
right. The
kind of the hard part because most of us as humans, we thrive on that feedback. We'd like to know, you know, that, oh, hey, that's so fantastic. That's great, you know, that you listened. And, you know, but most people don't take the time to do that, but some do, right? And those are the moments of encouragement that we get, right?
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that is really encouraging because it is kind of silent sometimes. You know, I hear things every once in a while, but it's definitely not as much as what I thought it might be like, but that's totally okay. So it is encouraging to know that people are listening. And as long as they are, that's all I care about.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, something that has really been a benefit to us is simple Facebook advertising, you know, We boost a post, right? Facebook, I don't know if you've looked into doing it, but it's, you know, you put a post on Facebook about upcoming podcast or one that's already been done or just your Anchor FM address, and it says you want to boost it. Okay, and you can spend $10, $20, $30, $40, you know, whatever, and Facebook will get that out to thousands of people. You know, I mean, we've seen a response from the ones that we put out, you know, for the Zachary Bernhardt case that you covered. And this one also will be promoted and paid for to get out there. And on average, we get, I would say probably between 1,000 and 3,000 views on something that we boost just for 4 days. So it's a really, really good way to get your podcast out there. And it's really relatively inexpensive and you can choose the areas that you want it to run in. You can choose specific characteristics of the population. It's so great. You can break it down into any which way that you think would be most effective. and Facebook will put it right to the people that are interested in those things.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, and it's really done us well. I mean, I think it's how we've gotten over 3,000 followers on our page. You know, I mean, a lot of that is Facebook, and our website's had over 5,000, you know, visits now. So a lot of that is from Facebook. And so, yeah, it's definitely something to consider. And I don't work for Facebook, that's for sure.
Right.
So we covered where people can find it. Now, what's the address for – so you're on Anchor, right? Now, Anchor – I wasn't really too familiar with Anchor. I had asked you about it. So people can go to Anchor FM and can they just search for the Forgotten Podcast, or is there an easy link that they can go to?
Yes, they can search for the Forgotten. Let me see. When it comes to the link – I would think that, oh, yeah, if you just type in the Forgotten, you should be able to find it. I think that I'm the first person that popped up.
Cool. Well, that's cool. Hey.
Yeah. Not lucky.
They don't
there.
Have to scroll.
For now.
Yeah, they don't have to scroll. Yeah, they don't have to scroll through pages to find you. You're right there.
Right.
Awesome. And you said you do take suggestions for unsolved cases, so you're pretty open to that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I do take suggestions. I can't promise that I'll cover every single one I get, but I will look into every one that I get to see if I can find what I need to produce an episode.
That's fantastic. Because, you know, for the families and the friends of missing people out there or that were close to an unsolved case, they, you know, a lot of times after the police kind of try to be careful here. Not that the police stop working on it, but when they don't hear from the police or the detectives for a really, really long time, it's very easy for them to think it's just, well, no one's working on the case anymore, you know? And
yeah,
that,
like it
that
feels like no
a,
one cares.
Right, right. And if they can reach out to you and say, hey, you know, I know this might be 15 years old, but we still don't have any answers. Can you do a podcast on this, you know, help us out a little bit? You know, and I'm sure, as we would, we'd say, absolutely. You know, absolutely. I will try to get that right in there and try to bring awareness to it. And then at least they feel like somebody is still making a difference. Somebody's still doing something, you know. A detective from Clearwater recently said, I don't know if I had told you, I think I had mentioned it to you, that Channel 10 Tampa Bay, which one of the local news stations here, just about a week or two ago, did a missing persons, you know, episode on Zachary Bernhardt, you know, and
that was
the first one really in a long time. I mean, usually on the anniversary, you might see a blip somewhere, you know, but this was a, you know, an episode that was dedicated directly to finding him. And we're very encouraged by that. And we don't know if, you know, that's because of all the advertising that's been going on, but we're sure that the posts have reached the news desk. So, you know, hopefully we had a little something to do with that, but you know, the reality is that, you know, once it gets back into the public eye, people will start to just talk about it again, and they'll start to look into it again. And for the families, I'm sure that they're happy to see that. You know, they know that, hey, you know, people haven't forgotten. And a detective recently was quoted as saying, you know, that Zachary, it's not a cold case, but they just haven't had any tips in a really, 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 really long time. So it's kind of like the parents and the families just go, oh, well, you know, there's no tips. So that means really nothing's being done. And
right.
Unfortunately, I think that is the case. You know, I mean, most, you know, police departments don't have a whole division that can just sit there and focus on cases that are 15, 20, 25 years old. They just can't do it. And a lot of times they've run every course that they could. They've looked at every angle, and they really need someone to step up and bring them something fresh that they can look at, right?
Exactly. Yeah, give them something to work with. And I definitely think in Zachary's case, there are people, I think, you know, this is just my personal opinion, but I do think that there are multiple people that probably know what happened that night, or maybe some of the events that led up to Zachary's disappearance. And if those people just come forward out of guilt or, you know, whatever it may be, I really think now's the time. We definitely need to find him. He needs to be reunited with his family, or we need to find where he is located so he can be put to rest in a respectful way. And it's been long enough.
Yeah. I mean, it's 20 years. I mean, I don't know how you hold on to hope that long, but I guess unless there's something to tell you not to hold on to hope, then you hold on to hope. I mean, that's the only thing that they have, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's got to be. I can't imagine. If this is the case, clearly I'm emotionally involved with, you know, because it's just, you know, like I was mentioning before, you know, people have asked, you know, why we're focusing on this case so much. And, you know, part of it is that it was right in Clearwater. So that's literally next door to our home base in Tampa. All the founders and the people of the organization have all been living here. So we all remember it when it happened. We remember the news coverage. We remember the flyers and the search parties and the dogs and the everything, you know. And I think when you see something like that, it makes an imprint on you, you know. And with all the unanswered questions, it drives you more, you know. I think, you know, people say, why are you doing all the detective work, aren't you? Well, yeah, I guess we are, you know, because it drives you. It's not like an open shut thing, you know. It's not like a neighbor saw some guy come onto the property and carry him away. Okay.
Right.
That would be pretty bad, but at least you'd be like, oh, dang, okay, yeah, at least we know something. No, this is very odd. He was in his mother's bed. He was in his mother's bed.
Yes.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, that's the thing that's very, very odd. Like, someone would have had to be watching all night, wait for her to go out the door, and see that the door was unlocked, go in the house, go up the stairs, go into her room, pick him up, take him back down the stairs, out down the stairs, I go outside because they're on a second floor, and walk away with him.
Yeah.
In a very small window of time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's very frustrating because I believe she said she was only, and of course this is just if Leah's account of the story is true, which it could be, whatever, but she said she was only gone for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a really short amount of time to be gone and then for someone to do all of those things and then, you know, leave with him.
Yeah, it's very odd. And, you know, something that struck us very strange is on the 10 Tampa Bay broadcast that they did, Zachary's aunt said that from what she understands, Leah went out for a walk and to take the trash out. She came back and he was gone. Now, that's very odd for the aunt to say, because clearly she heard the 911 call. It's her sister, right? So she knows all about the case. And on the 911 call, Leah said she went for a swim, came back, and he was gone. So for the aunt not to mention that Leah went for a swim and came back and he was gone is very odd to us. Like, clearly she knows that's what Leah's story is, right? And she was right on there saying, no, she went for a walk, took trash out, she came back, and he was gone. That's not what the story is. That's not what she told police. She said she went for a swim and came back, and he was gone. But,
that's,
you know,
very
what's
frustrating.
Is, yeah, it is very hard. And, you know, we're not saying that there's members of the family that know something, because we don't know. But some of the things that have been said are very, very strange.
Right. It just raises suspicion.
It does, you know. And it's something that the grandmother had said a few years back on an interview with the news, and this is on YouTube, when the interviewer asked her, said, this has got to be very hard. How do you deal with this every day? And she said, in exact words, well, you have to have hope that he's being cared and raised by someone who loves him. And I was like, wow, that's really weird. So you think a predator came in the middle of the night, kidnapped your grandson out of his mother's bed, and your hope is that he's being loved and cared for and raised by someone who loves him?
Oh, man.
Right? That's the kind of stuff that keeps people interested, because there's things that just don't make sense. You know what I mean? And I think that's a good driver sometimes, having that drive for the truth, right? That you want the truth to come out. You want these cases to be solved. Like your podcast, a lot of those, it just gnawed at you. You're like, this has to be solved. There has to be more answers to this. Right?
Yes, there has to be some type of closure. I think it's human nature just to want some type of closure. And for these cases, that's the hard part, because a lot of the time there's not, or it comes way later on. But as long as we keep searching, that's all that matters. We're going to always look for that closure any way that we can.
No, absolutely. And people can just not stop. You know, that's the thing. And, you know, it was interesting with COVID. People had a whole lot of time. to be sitting on the internet, you know? And it was like, you know, there's a lot of people that are out there binge watching Netflix and stuff. And then, you know, that's cool. That's their thing, you know? But there was also a whole lot of people that took time to start researching these kinds of cases and just saying, you know, I wonder, and started to kind of really get involved and, you know, start asking questions again because they had so much time on their hands, you know? And and I'm sure that that's brought about, you know, tips and things in various cases. And, you know, people just have to care, you know? And we say, we know people are busy. You know, people are busy. We get it. But everyone's got time to be on Facebook, right? Come on. Everyone's got time to be on Facebook or watch their favorite show on Netflix or, you know, or be on YouTube or TikTok for hours and hours. I mean, you know, and we just ask people, if you have time to do all that stuff, you know, take a few minutes, look up a case, listen to the Forgotten Podcast, listen to some of our videos, and just start getting involved. You know, share your thoughts because somebody may raise a point that you never thought of, right? Or we never thought of in the case of Walker, you know, and go, wait, that is kind of weird. You know?
Exactly. And that could be the missing link.
Yeah, exactly. That could be the missing piece that brings closure to the family and the friends of one of these cases. And, you know, this is interesting, and I feel kind of dumb. And so does my co-director. We were talking about this, and we're like, we never caught this before. But on Leah's 911 call, she talked about Zachary in the past tense. She said, when she told the 911 operator that he was gone, she said that, quote, he was the best behaved boy ever.
Wow.
Yeah, she said was. And one of the passionate protectors, pointed that out to us. And I was like, whoa, I had never picked up on that before. You know, now that, you know, some people saying, see, that means that she killed him and she knows he's dead. You know, no, it doesn't. You know, that could mean a bunch of different things. She could have been saying, you know, because she said that she came back and he was gone. And if he was a well-behaved, best little well-behaved boy ever, that means he wouldn't have walked out on his own. That could have meant that, right? You know, it could have meant that she does know where he is and she knows that he's gone with somebody else somewhere. So he was, right? He's gone now, you know? So it could mean several different things, but that 911 tape's been out there since, 2000. And that's the first I'd ever heard and picked up on that. And that was somebody who was kind of tuned in and said, wait a minute, did she say he was? Oh,
that's so interesting. I'm going to have to go back and listen to it now.
it's crazy, you know? So, but we're talking with Shayna Barrera. She's the creator and author of The Forgotten Podcast. You can find The Forgotten Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, and they focus on unsolved cases, she does, and some missing kids, some adults, and some are some high profile, like the Susan Powell case and other ones like that. And we encourage you to find The Forgotten Podcast on social media and get involved. Take a listen, comment, and make a difference, because you may be one that makes the difference in a case. Absolutely. So, in a couple of minutes we got left, is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience about your podcast or anything like that?
I think mainly the main message that I want to get across, I probably even said it earlier, but I would just encourage people, even if you don't listen to my podcast, like you had said earlier, go look up a missing person. Mm-hmm. Just go review the case. You don't have to know every detail or anything like that. And the only thing that I challenge people to do is maybe go talk to a family member, go talk to a friend, just have conversations with someone about that case and maybe encourage them to do the same with someone else. And I think that would help so much to keep these people's memories alive and to spread the awareness and to hopefully eventually get back to that missing piece that we need to solve these cases together and hopefully bring these people home or solve these cases. And that's all I
absolutely.
Got.
Absolutely. And, you know, when the police say, we're relying on the public for your help, you know, a lot of times what that means is we're kind of stuck. We have nowhere else to look. So please, public, help us out. This is a way that the public can help, right? You know, listening to a podcast, you know, getting educated about a case, asking those important questions, looking for those little details, those, you know, those phrases like he was, you know, things that, you know, stuff like that, that may have been overlooked even for years and years and years, that for some reason no one picked up on it, you know?
Right, absolutely.
How the public can help. The public can make a difference this way. And you know, it can be a good purpose for people. You know, there's a lot of people that have a passion for true crime. They have a passion for these unsolved cases. I mean, look at Criminal Minds and Unsolved Mysteries, like all of these shows that have been around for, they're still on TV for a reason, right?
Yeah, right, absolutely.
A lot of people are interested in these type of things, and this is a chance to get involved in a real life case and make a difference and educate people so that the ones that are affected aren't forgotten.
Exactly. And I would really encourage people, you know, if you don't feel comfortable going to, you know, calling the police station or anything like that, call Crime Stoppers. You can be anonymous. You can tell them exactly what you need to say to get the information across. And that could be the thing that solves the entire thing. And you don't have to be involved at all. Just tell them what you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. A final thought on something that'll blow your mind on the Zachary thing is, we had a tip about a comment that was made, and I'll try to make this quick. There was a comment that was made on Channel 13's news broadcast about eight missing children. There were eight Amber Alerts for Florida. And somebody by the YouTube name of Lieberg, L-E-Berg, kind of strange, right? Lehberg. Had made a comment and said, the guy is 28. He's an adult. Weird, right? And he was clearly talking about that.
Weird.
Because he was the only boy that was mentioned, and the four other Amber Alerts are girls, you know? And
right.
So there was some response to that from people saying, okay, and what do you think happened kind of thing, you know? And so we had gone to his channel to kind of see if there's any more information. And the channel says that it was created in Canada. First warning right there. Why is somebody in Canada searching missing kids in Tampa?
Oh, wow. Yeah,
maybe just stumbled from all the way in Canada, right? Check this
right.
out. The playlist on this person's YouTube channel, there was three playlists. One was like parodies making fun of Kevin Trudeau. He's the guy up in Canada that runs the show. One was like cooking recipes. And the other one was simply called, Hey Google, play Gloria. And it was a song called Gloria by Laura Branigan. And if you've ever heard it, some of the lines of that song were about being on the streets. And there's a line that says, I think they know the alias that you've been living under. If everybody loves you, hook them, nobody's calling. Hook them, nobody's looking. It was very, very odd. And right around that time, we started promoting the video that we did about that in the area of Leesburg, Florida, thinking that Leesburg is an abbreviation for Leesburg, Florida, which is outside Orlando, which is where Zachary's mother currently lives. We ran the advertisement of that video, and the next day, that playlist was removed off that YouTube channel, the one for Gloria.
Oh, weird.
Very,
That's
very
so
strange,
crazy.
Right? Very strange.
Yeah.
But that was a keen eye. That was a keen eye that was picked up on. Yeah. Isn't that something? So
that is
you
interesting.
Just never know, right? Yeah, you just
yeah.
never know.
It's
where...
so hard, too. It's one of those things
yeah.
where it could be something, it could be nothing, but that's really weird for that to happen.
That was
it's
weird,
very
yeah, to have that song on there. I encourage you when we're done here, just look up that song, Gloria, by Laura Branigan. It'll give you chills when you listen to the lyrics. You're like, oh, my gosh, you know?
Any
case, we want to thank you for being on here. We've been talking with Shayna Barrera. She's the creator and author of The Forgotten Podcast. It can be found on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. Please check it out. She does great work, very detailed, very balanced, and very factual. So please take the time to check out her podcast and also visit our website, protectyourchildren.org, for lots of great resources on keeping kids safe from predators, kidnappers, and molesters. We want to thank you in advance for doing that. And Shana, thank you for being on the podcast. We appreciate it very much.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. Well, we'll see you on Facebook and Twitter, and we'll definitely keep in touch.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Take care now.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.